something that makes me almost feel the pictures I can see in my TV are real. Cali pretty ones with big life in their eyes, low riders and bonfires on.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back. It is Jay Scott, and it is The Hook Rocks, the ultimate rock community podcast. I appreciate you listening and stopping by, tuning in, and don't forget to write us a review when you're done. Five-star reviews are always appreciated. We always love our feedback or the feedback that you give us. We also are part of Pantheon Podcast Network, a great network of music-related podcasts, including the official Metallica Report, the Metallica podcast. So please check out The Hook Rocks, The Metallica Report, and all the other great music-related podcasts on pantheonpodcast.com. And you can follow them on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Pantheon Pods. And you can do the same on all three of those platforms, plus Threads, if you search up The Hook Rocks. And don't forget to subscribe and follow wherever you do podcasts so you get the latest episodes right to your phone. We've had some tremendous episodes to start the new year off. Todd Damick-Hearns, Joe Satriani, Sophie Lloyd, Tuck Smith, Jeff Pilson. We recently talked with The Gems, Black Smoke Trigger from New Zealand, and a whole slew of other great bands and artists. So please check out all of those. A couple of our episodes recently made some news by getting picked up by Blabbermouth, the Joe Satriani interview, where he speaks about David Lee Roth, and Jeff Pilson from Dokken, or ex-Dokken bassist and now Foreigner bassist, talks about his hope to do one last album with Dokken. So check out all that. And we've got some great episodes coming up, including the one we have today. You guys know I've really dived into stoner rock over the last year and a half. One of my favorite bands from the start of this, two favorite bands from the start of this podcast were La Chinga, which is a Canadian bass band, and 1000 Mods, which is also a Greek bass band. And we've had Rich on from the Doom Charts, and he spoke very eloquently about the genre and how it's very misunderstood. We just had him on recently as well. And we had Green Lung on in the last quarter of last year from the UK, which This Heathen Land was one of my favorite albums of 2023. And we've got another great band for to showcase today, one of the emerging bands in the stoner rock genre. And they're from Finland. And I'd like to welcome Sammy from the band Heezer. What's happening, man? How are you?
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me. All good here in Finland. It's really cold right now, but but otherwise, all good.
How cold is it in Finland?
It's minus 20. I don't know how much that is in Fahrenheit, but it's cold enough.
Yeah, well, we're from Chicago, or I'm from Chicago. So Chicago is typically very cold during the winter. However, last year, actually the last few years, including now, it's been very mild. Like we're looking at 50 degree temperatures in the city of Chicago and the surrounding area, which is really unheard of at this time of year. But hey, you know what? We'll take it.
Yeah. For us, it has been like up and down. It's minus 20 and next day it's plus 5.
Wow. Wow. Well, hey, you know, I'm really glad that you're doing the show. A few of my friends that I chat with about music turned me on to the band, and quite a few of them in the top 20 5 of 2023, we included their list, ranked your album in their top 10, and figured I should check this band out because everybody was talking about it, and just been mesmerized by the music and just what you guys are all about. Before we get into all that, though, we do got to ask you the question we always ask a first-time guest, and that is really the essence of the show. Just like every rock song has a hook, every rock fan has a moment, whether it's a song, an album, a band, or performance that hooked them on rock and roll. What was it for you?
I think the last nail in the coffin was Apocalypse Dude's album by Turbo Negro. I think that was the final push over the edge.
What was the first one?
It's a Finnish band called Eppu Norma. That's a band that my dad likes to listen to. But they had this song, Poliisi Bambu Tataas. It's like 70s punk song.
What in terms of your music journey, you just mentioned what hooked you on rock music. But where did it go from there? What was some of the music that you listened to from bands from the United States, North America, bands from the UK, bands from Europe? What was your exposure to that stuff?
Growing up or
growing up.
The first CD I got was Smash by Offspring. So that's where it started. Then, of course, Nevermind came out. So, and a lot of this power metal, like Iron Maiden, Twilightning, which is a Finnish band from the town where I'm from, and the Beatles has been a big band for me always, and Alice in Chains, Fu Manchu, Pink Floyd, there's tons of bands. And I tend to go from one edge to another.
What led you to the path that is now Heezer?
I think it was it was kind of a mistake, because I was asking our drummer to go just play some riffs just for the fun. And I don't know if he understood me wrong or just wanted to start a band, because he asked the other guys to come with us. So then I was cool with it, and we went to the rehearsals and started playing, and it clicked really fast, and we started writing songs immediately. So I think in a few weeks we had 4 songs, and just been going from there. Before that, we all have had like many bands, of course, before Heezer, but I think this is the one that has worked out for the best.
How did you develop your sound? Where does the sound come from? How would you describe the band Heezer?
I think we are some of all our parts, because we all have so different backgrounds in music. There are some same bands that we like and same music styles that we listen to, but the sound was there from the first time we played together. So our other guitar player, Ville, has a strong background in black metal and heavier stuff. And our bass player aren't this stoner guy to the bone. And I think myself, I'm all around the place. And our drummer Ville is like a rock and roll type of guy. So when you put all of that together, that's then it's either.
How do you feel about being defined as a stoner rock band? I mean, we've had discussions on this podcast about how it's misunderstood and that that label is good in some ways and maybe turns people off in some other ways. How do you feel about the label?
I think we have so many influences in our music, but the basic of it is the stoner rock. But there's also a lot of grunge and maybe even pop. But I still think it's stoner rock, and I'm happy about it. So I don't see that it has been like a negative effect for us. I think that's what our music is.
When you think of, you know, the sound, was this what you guys were going for, or did this all happen organically? Was this like the
organically? It was like a mistake. We didn't plan for any of it. Just started playing and thought, oh, this is cool.
When you think of the song, the sound that you guys have in the album, you know, let's go back to the album that you released last year. What was, you know, what is the band's creative process in creating? How does that all work?
Well, we all pitch in. Some of us, or one of us, has an idea, and we just start working from there. It could be a riff or maybe even a whole song, but it's never ready until we have played it together for like 20 times. So we can all pitch in, and everyone finds the things they want to play in the song. And at some point I start singing and finding some melodies for the song.
As far as Sun Grinder does go, the album you released last year.
Yeah.
You know, the way that's connected with audiences, I mean, the fact that you and I are talking and I'm in Chicago and you're in Finland, do you feel like what you had hoped for with the album was accomplished?
Yeah. And many times over. I was just thinking that if somebody would listen to it, that would be okay. But it was like a few days, and it had about 10,000 plays on it. So it was really cool.
Now, are you guys, I mean, you guys are in Finland. Are you very regional in where you perform, you know, Sweden, Norway, Finland, or are you guys going to kind of spread your wings a little bit and get to other parts of Europe, try to get to the UK?
Yeah, hopefully, but for now we have been playing only in Finland. It's pretty hard to get shows and gigs in Finland. You know, rock and roll isn't the biggest thing in the world right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be really great to go to Germany or UK and maybe the States at some point. I'm well, just gonna work hard and try to write some good songs.
Well, you guys are in fact doing that. I mean, the album is great. The latest single, California, is incredible. As I said before, we hopped on the interview here. But, you know, you look at a country like Sweden, you know, a neighboring country to Finland, their rock scene seems to be kind of flourishing. Have you guys been able to get gigs in that country?
Not yet. But I know there's a lot of Finnish bands that go there that are like the same genre than us. So hopefully we can go with them and start making a name in Sweden. Because like you said, rock is a lot bigger in Sweden than in Finland. Finland is more like heavy metal and rap.
Yeah, heavy metal is a lot different now. When you say heavy metal band, I think of heavy metal as like Iron Maiden and Judas Priest and Ozzy Osbourne, you know, the bands I grew up with. But now heavy metal is something that's completely different. I think Heiser is, in a lot of stoner rock bands, a lot of desert rock, doom rock bands are very reminiscent of those bands from the early 80s, from the 70s. I mean, we've had conversations on this. I mentioned Rich from Doom Charts, you know, talking about Mountain and talking about Deep Purple and Black Sabbath. There's a lot of core influences, you know, in stoner rock with those bands. And then you also take in the new wave of British heavy metal, you know, late 70s and in the UK, maybe not sound wise, but very reminiscent to the scene, where very raw, very real, very authentic. And I think based on the music that you guys have, I think it's only a matter of time before you start to spread your wings and grow a little bit in Europe. I mean, I mentioned 1000 Mods. They're a band from Greece. You know, there's bands from Italy that are doing, you know, stoner rock, Germany as well. I mean, pretty much a lot. And even here in the States, you're seeing a lot of stoner rock bands. I mean, there's so many bands. It's such a movement. So I think, I think there is an audience. When you look at what the possibilities are and all you guys coming together and forming this band, has this been something that has been like, hey, we need to do this? Or now that you're seeing people across the globe really resonate with your music, it's something like, hey, we should really pursue these other countries. I know touring in the US is very expensive, but, you know, Europe wise, being that you're already there, you know, might be something to kind of get in a van and tour in the summer. Have you guys thought about that?
Yeah, we have spoken about it, and it would be a lot of fun. And hopefully we get to do that some year. And for now, we are just trying to write more songs so that when we go, we are ready. And we have been only together for 3 years now. And I think we are still like growing as a band and in our music.
What do you think of the band and, you know, starting this, and you said it happened by accident?
Yeah.
Where do you see the band going after this? I mean, you mentioned more writing, more music. You just released California, a great song. What is next? Where do you see the band going from here on out?
I think this year we will release maybe 2-3 songs. And then in 2025, start recording our second album. I think that's the plan right now. And then at the same time, do as many shows that we can. So for the next 2 years, I think that's the plan.
How is the band adjusting to getting their music out globally and having people connect with it?
Well, that's one thing we've been trying, because all of us are terrible at social media and computers. If you have any ideas, we're listening.
Yeah.
Maybe this is one way.
Yeah, you know, it is something for a band to get used to, right? Because a lot of bands become musicians not to be social media experts or because they're social media experts. It's because they play the instrument. They play the band. They play the, you know, the drums, guitar, they sing, they're in a band. And now when you're, you know, in Heezer and in a band, you really have to consider a game plan of how to market yourself and stay on social media and have a presence, because unfortunately that's how people connect with you now, is your social media. So you really have to have that in your arsenal when you're a band like yourself. And I've talked to many bands and, you know, it's something that they don't really like, but they understand that they have to do it.
Yeah. It's the same for us. Yeah. We really don't like to do this, but it's just something you have to do. But not my favorite thing.
Let's go into the latest single, California. How did this song come to be?
Well, actually, me and our drummer Ville were trying to figure out another song that we were going to record, and we really didn't get it to work the way we wanted. And I just said, Ville, that I have this riff, maybe we could try that. And maybe 5-10 minutes later, the song was basically done. And then I just had to figure out the vocal melodies, and it was actually a really easy song to write. And soon as it was done, we were pretty sure that this is the one that we should record.
Where did the inspiration come from?
Well, I like Fu Manchu a lot, so I think that's the main influence on that song. And and the lyrics are about this movie, Lords of the Dog Town, skateboarding. I don't know if you have seen it, but it's a good movie. And when I saw that movie, I was living alone. I was a bit younger then. And I was having a late night at a bar and came home and started watching that movie. And at some point, I wasn't really sure if the movie is a movie or if it's a real life. I got confused. So that's basically the idea of the song.
The next single after this, have you guys already started a game plan? Do you guys know what it's going to be?
Well, I think I know what it's going to be, but we haven't really talked about it yet with the guys. But I think it will be more like a heavier song, like more heavy metal. But still will it be the same sound and same elements that we have in all our songs, like pretty catchy melodies and good drive.
I think that's one of the things that attracted me to the band's sound is the melody that you guys have. I mean, it's fuzzy and it's stoner rock, but you guys do really have a sense of melody in your music, which is incredible. How do you shape your songs? Like, how do you find that hook? How do you find that melody? Does it come from the guitar? Is it something that you're humming? What leads to that?
For some songs, I have to really work on the melodies, like change it a lot, many times, and really work on it, but sometimes it's the first thing that just comes to my mind. Like I said before, I listen a lot of the Beatles and ABBA as well. So I have a sweet spot for the melodies and catchy hooks and stuff like this. So I would say it's because the Beatles.
Well, I mean, hey, you know, they are the, you know, in rock music, I mean, they are the top of the food chain when it comes to,
yeah,
you know, melodies and really being, you know, the beginning of modern music as we know it, modern rock and roll. As far as the lyrics goes, are you the one that writes those lyrics?
Yeah. For lyrics and for the vocal melodies, that's my job.
How about the genre? What other bands inspire you that are part of this stoner, desert rock, doom rock genre?
Well, Fu Manchu, I mentioned already, and Caius. There's actually this Finnish band that I like called Orbiter. We're going and playing a few shows with them. So it should be fun. But they are maybe more like Doomstone or something like that. But for the bigger bands, it's Fu Manchu and Caius for me.
And what about them is an inspiration?
For a few months, the California Crossing, that was the soundtrack of my 20s when I was spending my time in the bars and parks. And for Caius, Space Cadet is one of my favorite songs, like all-time songs. Yeah, we used to do this Pilot the Dune song from Slow Burn. And also Squash the Fly from Fu Manchu. So, same guys.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of Scary Guys, Skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month. So just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
What do you feel distinguishes Heezer from the other bands in the genre? What's different about you?
I think it's the melodies. For me, the thing in stoner rock that doesn't really hit me is the lack of melodies. So I think that's the one that separates us from the others. Of course, like Thousand Mods, they have great melodies as well, so, but not so many fans.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that is what separates, you know, the ones that are, I think, going to go places is the bands that have melody. I mean, there's a lot of bands that are part of the genre that, you know, sometimes it's just you just can't find it, right? There's nothing that hooks you. There's no melody. And I think you need that. You need some sort of melody, some sort of hook to pull you in and keep listening. I mean, that's what I look for. And that's what really attracted me to Heezer was exactly what you said, was the fact that, yeah, there's that fuzziness and there's that, those riffs. But at the end of the day, the songs are great because of the melodies.
Yeah. A friend of mine that we used to have another band, he taught me that melodies are the song. That everything else is just everything else. And for me, if there's no melodies, like catchy melodies and hooks, then it's boring for me. And I think the melodies are what helps us to expand to other genres as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think having a melody exposes you to more of a mainstream audience. And not that you want to be mainstream, but I think people are more likely to pick up on something that they can hum, right? And they can, you know, sing along to rather than a song that may not sound like a finished product. And I think, you know, when I hear a song without a melody, that's what I feel. I feel like it needs to cook more. It needs more for me to hold my interest.
Yeah. And also we use a lot of vocal harmonies in our songs. And that is from the Beatles as well. And maybe Alice in Chains. But they took it from the Beatles as well. So.
Well, when you talk about melody, pretty much every band took from the Beatles.
Yeah. There's no escaping that.
Yeah. I mean, look at all genres of music, whether it's pop, whether it's rock, whether it's country, all that stuff boils down to, you can always pinpoint the Beatles when you hear and talk about melody.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny that the four guys wrote all the melodies in music.
Yeah. How hard is that for you to find the melody when you have, you know, these riffs that are just incredible and hard and fuzzy and if for you writing that to fit those melodies in that sound, is it a difficult process for you or is it just something that you can pick up on?
Sometimes it's difficult, but most of the time it comes pretty naturally and easy. Like for the song California, it was maybe 10 minutes and done. But then actually the song that I think we're going to record I've changed the vocal melodies like 6 times, and now I'm starting to be happy with them.
What does it take for you to be happy?
It's just a feeling. When it feels right, then I'm happy. It's hard to explain what the thing is. Actually, the same song, the new song, we have changed the structure of the song also like 6 or 7 times. And now I think it's done. But when we changed the structure, I couldn't really say what was wrong with it. You just have to have the feeling that it's not quite right there. So I would say it's all about the feeling. When it feels right, then it's right.
How do you overcome that frustration? I mean, imagine not being able to develop a melody that fits the song. Sometimes, you know, when it comes easy, obviously that's the ideal situation. But when you can't find it and you are searching for it, how do you overcome that? I mean, it could be a lot of pressure on you to do that. What's your process for that?
You just have to grind it out. Usually I then work on another song. So I put it on like in the background. And then it could be something that I'm brushing my teeth or going to bed or just staring at the screen at work. And then I just get the melody in my head and, okay, this is it. And there's really not just one way, but you have to put the work in.
The other members of the band, when they're restructuring a song that you need to find a melody for, how is that process? Because I've heard a lot where, you know, the songwriting process, when you're incorporating everyone in the band, could be the most difficult time for a band, you know, because someone comes to the table with an idea or a riff, and then you're having a trouble, you know, laying a melody on top of that riff, and you've got to kind of restructure things. Does that cause a lot of friction? Does it cause a lot of stress? Is that healthy for the band?
I don't think it causes any friction. I think the guys understand, or at least they don't show it to me, but they understand that the melody is the main thing. And if I think we have to change something, then it's just something we have to do. Yeah, but I don't think it's any issue with us. And maybe I have the last say on the songs because I have to sing them.
You know, looking at the album that you guys did before the single, you know, it was pretty powerful album. You know, it's a lot of people, like I said, raved about it in our end of year episode. The album is titled Sun Grinder. It's available on all streaming platforms. Coming out of that into California, was California part of those sessions or did that come after?
That was after. And actually, after the album, we released an EP last summer. And the album was recorded, I think, 2022 in the spring.
Was that the Mushroom Hill boogie tapes?
Yeah. That was last summer. But the year before, we recorded the album, the Sun Grinder. And we had to wait for like eight, nine months before it was released. And during that time we wrote the songs for the EP. And almost, I think it was week after Soundgrinder was released that we went in the studio to record the EP. And we just wanted to do summer rock and roll EP, just something different. And that's what we did.
Do you guys like that freedom to kind of record an album and then get inspired by something, go in and cut an EP, do that, get inspired by a movie, release California? There seems to be a sense of freedom with that. Do you guys prefer that process?
Yeah. That's the, for me, the thing I enjoy the most is the songwriting. That's my favorite thing in this music stuff that we do. And we have a lot of songs, and for some reason we come up with songs really easily compared to other bands that we have been a part of. So that's why I think we will release more songs this year, as well as keep writing songs for the second album. So we're doing those things at the same time. And we have this basic idea for the second album, what the style is going to be. And when we write songs, the ones that could fit that style of that album, we save for later. And if we come up with good songs that are not quite the style that we hope the album will be, then we are thinking about recording them and releasing them.
How many shows did you guys do live in 2023?
I'm not sure. Maybe 10 or something like that.
And do you guys feel that you'll do more this year? Is that something that you're looking to really grow in terms of how many times you play?
Yeah, I think we will have more shows this year. I think we have 4 or 5 lined up for the before summer or the spring. So I think we're going to play more shows this year. At least I hope so. But yeah, like I said, it's not the easiest thing trying to get shows in Finland.
Right. When can people expect the new single?
Maybe in the summer. I think if we have enough time in the spring to go to the studio, then we could release it in the summer. So hopefully in the summer. But like I said, we haven't really talked about it with the guys, so we have to come up with a great plan.
Well, Sammy, it's been a joy talking with you, getting to know you, learning more about the band. And
my pleasure.
Yeah, I can't wait for the next single. I can't wait for what's next for you guys, for the band, and to see where it goes. Because I think, you know, it's just been a tremendous experience, you know, listening to the band as well.
Thanks. Hopefully we can keep growing and writing some good songs. So that's the plan anyways.
Awesome. That's a great plan. Sammy, enjoyed the conversation. For anyone listening, all the band's links to their social media will be in the show notes. So when you're when you're listening to the show, when you're done, you can go ahead and check all that stuff out. And yeah, that's Sammy from the band Heezer, a great band in the stoner rock genre, a very up and coming emerging band in the stoner rock genre. Go check them out. Again, my name is Jay Scott. This has been another episode of The Hook Rocks, the ultimate rock community podcast. Take care of each other, stay safe, and we will talk soon. Thank you.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.